Not all immigrants are seen or treated equally by the state. Born on the 22nd of September 1954, Barnabé Kekaya Ben Karubi was 35 years old at the time he received his residential permit to live in Ponty, a concession to the Group Areas Act No. 36 of 1966. One of the most notorious pieces of apartheid legislation that reinforced residential racial segregation. He signed and dated his application on the 24th of November 1989, requesting a one-year lease starting from the 10th of December 1989. Radio RSA issued an employment letter on Ben Karubi's behalf 10 days later, and all documents were received by both the town clerk and House of Assembly by the 5th of December 1989. The approval of Ben Karubi's permit was issued in a record time of 24 days. Unlike Flat 3607's residents, Jerome Matondo Kabangu and Promise Ilunga Kinkela, the apartheid government viewed Ben Karubi not as an unwelcome foreigner, but as a credentialed expatriate who could mediate foreign service announcements to Francophone African countries. After only a year of living in Ponty, he ended up purchasing a condominium from a white resident living on Hunter Street in the nearby neighborhood of Yeovil. Ben Karubi, his wife, and their four children were issued a group area permit that allowed them to move out of Berea, where Ponty is located, and into their new home by the 1st of December 1990. When he applied to live in Ponty, Ben Karubi listed his occupation as journalist, and the accompanying employment letter stated that he was going to be working as an announcer and producer for the French service sector of Radio RSA, the voice of South Africa. Ben Karubi worked for Radio RSA when the station was still considered an external radio service whose primary role was to function as the propaganda arm of the apartheid government's foreign policy. Radio RSA was run by the South African Broadcast Corporation, the SABC, and had been under the control of the Department of Foreign Affairs since 1981. The station aired 208 hours per week in 11 languages, targeting areas of Africa, Latin America, Germany, Austria, Switzerland, the Netherlands, France, the Middle East, the United Kingdom, Ireland, and North America. Originally founded in 1966 as part of the Department of Information, which had been formed for the manipulation of the press locally and internationally, the station ran until 1992, when it was disbanded and rebranded as Channel Africa. Ben Karubi worked for Radio RSA for 3 years prior to its dismantling, and he went on to establish his own media company. President Laurent Kabila appointed him the official Congolese ambassador to Zimbabwe in 1997. Given Ben Karubi's permit application happened to be the only one accepted in the 1989 Ponty application cohort. The other seven residents who applied in Ben Karubi's year came from France, Great Britain, Lesotho, and South Africa, some boasting professions such as research executive, consultant, and an international fashion model, but all were rejected. Some were even told that their presence would make the other white residents in the building feel disturbed or upset. But in the eyes of the apartheid state, Ben Karubi was an exception because of his connections to state-controlled media. His subsequent career in foreign diplomacy explains his willingness to cooperate with the apartheid government during its most tumultuous years prior to democracy. Covertly inscribed in his paper trail is the privilege of a well-connected politician. Barnabé Kekaya Ben Karubi's lifetime spans the most crucial years in modern Congolese history. Until he was six, Ben Karubi grew up in the Belgian Congo. Though perhaps too young to remember the independence leader, Patrice Lumumba, Ben Karubi would have witnessed between age 6 and 11 what was posthumously called the Congo Crisis from 1960 to 1965. Shortly after independence in 1960, the Congolese army felt alienated from the newly liberated nation and staged a mutiny. Lumumba traveled to the United States and appealed to the United Nations for help, but both refused him. Against the advice of President Joseph Kasavubu and Chief of Staff Joseph Désiré Mobutu, he turned instead to the Soviet Union, the US, and Belgium's opponents during the Cold War. In response, Kasavubu and Mobutu agreed to coordinate Lumumba's assassination in 1961. While Mobutu continued as military leader under Kasavubu's rule, he later betrayed him by staging another military coup to overthrow him in 1965. Presumably opposed to Mobutu's dictatorship, Bin Karubi moved to South Africa in 1989. After Lawrence Désiré Kabila became president in 1997, Bin Karubi entered politics in Congo, serving as ambassador to Zimbabwe and chief negotiator in international talks to end fighting in the DRC. Appointed first as Minister of Communications from 2001 to 2003 by Lawrence Kabila's son and successor, Joseph Kabila, Bin Karubi later became his chief diplomatic advisor. Bin Karubi was part of the decision-making bodies that determined the fate of thousands of Congolese lives, including that of two cousins, Jerome Matondo Kabangu and Promise Ilunga Kinkela, who lived in flats 3607 in the first 6 years of President Joseph Kabila's rule.